It's Lake Effect from WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company. From birth, our lives are shaped by the people who share their wisdom, either as spoken advice or just by example in the way they live. We readily absorb that wisdom when we're young, but often it seems that we're less apt to look for that wisdom as we, ourselves, get older. But that's not always the case. Wisconsin writer Michael Perry found himself learning some things about machinery and some things about life as he got to know his friend and neighbor, 82-year-old Tom Hartwig. The time he and his family have spent with Tom forms the backbone of Perry's latest book, which is appropriately called Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. The book is just out now in paperback, so we thought it a perfect time to revisit the interview Mitch Tyke did with Mike Perry last August, when the book first came out. Perry began then by explaining why he was drawn to people like Tom Hartwig.
Well, in part because Tom's what I call a roughneck polymath. He can do just about everything. He did graduate from high school in the 40s, but he's pretty much a self-taught guy. And it isn't that those type of people are disappearing, but I think people who possess a breadth of knowledge are disappearing. We're all becoming very specific in our knowledge. And so that attracted me. The biggest thing that attracted me was I wanted to write a book about what you can learn from your neighbor by just being neighbors. And I've gone out of my way to point out that this is not a book about me choosing a mentor, or I have no special claim on him. Many folks know him better than I do. But I just want to see what can you pick up over the course of a year just running over to see him to get some rebar bent, cut, or welded. And there is a family connection in that my wife worked for him when she was a young girl. She was on his hay crew, and she told me he told me that she outworked every boy he ever hired. And the line I use is, I realized later that was less a statement about her character than a challenge to my own.
Well, and it strikes me that that again, the Tom Hartwigs of the world, the roughneck polymaths, do not necessarily go out of their way to call attention to themselves. So they are both unheralded and disappearing.
That's part of it too, and I'm glad you brought it up because it reminds me to mention also that this isn't a book about Tom. It's a book about all the Toms out there and the female versions as well. His wife is he says in the book, I'd be nowhere without my wife. And what I like about what you've just brought up is that, yes, I'm writing about a very specific guy, his very specific stories, but already I'm just a few days into the tour and the number of people who have come up and said, oh, I know a guy just like that. And that makes me feel good because that's what I'm trying to do. These guys, these characters are in Mississippi, California, New York State, wherever you go.
But I also can't help but think in reading about Tom specifically that he does not seem like the kind of person who would necessarily embrace the idea of a book being written, if not about him, about his archetype.
No, as a matter of fact, I asked his permission to write the book since he's my neighbor first and the subject second. He gave me permission, but he insisted that I change his name, and I thought that was fair enough, and I've changed a couple of identifying details. Of course, the flip side is if you read about him, you realize that he is such a character that anybody within about 50-mile radius, of course, knows who he is. But yeah, I think he definitely I had second thoughts about it, and even now I wonder, I hope that I haven't opened his life up to something unwanted. On the other hand, I wanted to honor the guy, and I wanted to honor people like him, and I also, he's got some great stories. Wanted to tell him.
One of the things that you write about, it's not just you that's visiting Tom through this. It's you and your family. Why is it important for you that your children have this memory of visiting with Tom and Arlene?
I've benefited so much from having these bridges to the past that my parents set up in taking me to visit the old Norwegian neighbors who lived up the road. The woman my parents bought the farm from, she actually would tell us about coming to the country in a buckboard. I had another neighbor who remembered trading with Native Americans. And so here I am in 2012, 47 years old, and yet I have a tangible connection to almost pre, quote unquote, civilized times. And now my children know Tom, and he talks about driving oxen, and he talks about when his relatives came to the country. And he's also taught my children the history of the Ojibwa in that area because he used to go down to the stream and find their camps, and he would explain why they camped on one side of the creek versus the other. And so to me, it's just nice for them to see someone who can take them back in time that far and give them a sense of the scope of history right in their own backyard.
And it's funny because the title of the book is Visiting Tom, but the thing that you do and the thing that you do with your children is really visiting with him as opposed to just visiting him.
Right, because as I point out in the book, one of the things I get a kick out of with Tom and folks like him, if you look him right now and ask him for wisdom, he's just going to run you around. You know, there's a scene where he has two daughters also, and so I have two daughters, and I thought, well, I'll ask this 80-year-old father of two daughters, what can you tell me about raising daughters? And his answers were almost all nearly unprintable. I included a couple, but and yet if you just hang out with him, if you just go over and get your brush hog welded, or if you bring over some pork chops and have dinner with him, in the course of natural conversation, you'll learn limitless things. But no, he doesn't respond well to interrogatories, as they say.
Well, and one of the limitless things that you learn is if you're going to give him pork chops, you ought to remember to bring the pork chops with you.
If you promise to pay for your welding with pork chops, it's really critical to remember to bring the pork chops because he will put you through the emotional ringer. Even as he tells you he trusts you, he still gets his pound of flesh, as it were.
We should mention, because this part gets a lot of attention and maybe disproportionately so, but among his hobbies is the art of building working artillery, cannons that yes, that occasionally stand out in his yard and that he uses.
Yes. He builds and shoots his own cannons, and he has a cannon that he keeps in a shed, and it points across his driveway. You have to drive not only past the cannon but before it, as I say, and look at the menacing hollow. Eye. He never keeps it loaded, but it's there. And yeah, that, of course, I ain't going to lie to you. I brought that up in some of the promotional material because it's fun. And if you go to my website, we've got video of him shooting it, and it's pretty spectacular. But it's also – it speaks to the kind of guy he is and the kind of people that I was raised by. And again, I'm including the women in this too, that there was this roughneck sense of humor. So here he's got all these skills. He uses his lathe, which he's proud to point out the most recent patent on it is a 1918. Patent. And yet he uses that lathe to, I've been there while he turns out parts for guys' $350,000 combines. And yet he also uses that lathe to make cannons because he likes to shoot them. And I like that sort of underlying sense of humor that folks like this have. So if you ask him, what on earth are you making cannons for? Well, because I can and because I want to. And he also, he's a history buff and he'll talk about the history of cannons. But mostly, he just likes to make it go boom.
There's an underlying sense of mischief.
There is. Yep, you bet. And that's the kind of thing, too, that ultimately the book is about equanimity. We haven't mentioned it yet, but he lived in this very beautiful, secluded spot with a creek running through the yard. And the interstate came through his yard when he was a man in about his 30s and split his world in two and dumps 8 million vehicles a year past his front yard. And part of what I'm looking for from Tom, for my own benefit, because goodness knows I need it, is how do you develop what I think is a sense of equanimity? How do you face something like 22,000 vehicles a day through his yard? And yet, and believe me, he's grumpy about that, and he talks about that in the book. But how do he has then gone on to live a full and engaged life and shoots his cannons, and that sense of humor is part of it, obviously.
Mike Perry, thanks so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Michael Perry's latest book is called Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. It's published by Harper, and it's just out now in paperback. Mitch Teich's interview with Perry first aired last year. We will take one last break and then catch up with contributor and gardening expert Melinda Myers, who's again out in West Allis, talking gardening for the duration of the state fair. Stay tuned. It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.